Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I've experienced more haters in the last like year and a half than I ever the rest of the years combined. No doubt.
Why do you think that is?
Putting a rock record out.
I know how important like that is for you.
Yeah, how
fulfilling the rock part of this is for you.
Yeah.
So does that deter you from like wanting to keep to it?
No way. If you don't think I'm not doing a rock project after this big country project, you're out of your mind.
Back to talk to us about the release of his brand new album, Country Country, out September 26th. Hardy.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good.
I was going to say Michael Hardy, but then I was like,
you could do that if you wanted to.
How many? I know Callie calls you Michael, but like, how many people in your everyday life call you Michael?
My friends back home call me Michael.
Is it always a Michael, not Mike or Mikey or anything like that?
No, never Mike, because my dad's Mike.
Okay.
But everybody, I went with Hardy because so many people just called me by my last name up here. So
yeah
family and Callie, it's pretty much, which is also family, but...
Yeah,
that's pretty much it. Not many people.
Well, so this new album, 20 songs, including the EP Country. Talk to me, like, why these 20 songs?
It's just the best I got. This is 2 years worth of writing, the stuff that I'm really proud of. It's a very country album.
I know. That was when you announced, everybody's like, it's called Country Country, but is it country?
Yeah, that's me being a smart ass. It's like reassuring on a level of trying to be a little bit cheeky that it's a country album. I kind of am making the face on the album cover where I'm just sort of like kind of eye roll a little bit, but that's only, I'm only being funny, but it's just, you know, you put out one rock record and everybody loses their freaking mind, man.
They really do. I listened to the album once through and then I've been kind of jumping around, and I feel like my big takeaways from it have been like, this is a man who like knows what he stands for, what he believes in, what he's proud of. But then the most prevalent theme that I don't think I was expecting was like mortality.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about that.
Did you listen to the very last song on the record is Everybody Does?
Yes.
And it kind of addresses that, but I mean, if I'm being honest, I got a lot of comments from any angle that you could think of last year after 6 Feet Under came out, and people were just like, man, you got a lot of songs about dying, and I always have, but I've just always thought like in a world where everybody's just always like, you know, nobody can agree on anything. The sky is not blue to some people, and... You know, it's like, you know, that's the people say death and taxes, but, you know, in reality, some people don't even pay their taxes. So. But the only thing we have in common is death. And if that's a theme that I want to write about just to bring people together and make sure everybody, you know, in the room relates to one thing, then so be it. So,
yeah. And the thing that keeps popping up too, Bottomland, there's a song called Bottomland, but then it's mentioned in several songs. Talk about that.
Yeah. I'm from Mississippi. I'm actually, this is a perfect segue. I did this on purpose because I knew
as Mississippi as it gets.
But Mossy Oak is a camouflage apparel company. And Bottomland, I don't know if it was the very first one, but it's the most famous Mossy Oak company. And Mossy Oak is from Mississippi, and so am I. And so I just want to represent any way I can. And, you know what's really funny about the two songs that talk about Barry? Because Country and Me is the other one.
Mm-hmm.
I actually threw out the title, Bury Me in Bottomland, that day, the day that we wrote Country and Me. And for some reason, nobody bid on it. So we just wrote Country and Me, and then we put that line in the song. Oh,
interesting.
But I was like, with all due respect, I think I'm going to try to just keep the title Bury Me in Bottomland and write it with somebody else. And I did. And it wasn't really until like I started doing vocals on the record that I was like, oh, shit. I had two songs that say that. But now I just, you know, it's just a common, I guess it's just, it's something I'm pretty adamant about, and that's I'll just stick to that, you know?
The whole album feels very synergetic, like the, like, mentions of that stuff over and over again. I thought it was really, really cool. I enjoyed that. Talk about why you landed on Country Country, other than, like, being cheeky. Was there anything, like, did the title come before the song, or?
The title came before the song. Well, actually, excuse me, the song title came before the song, which obviously it did, but I had already cut, like, 12 or 13 songs for this record, and the word country is in like so many titles, and that was definitely intentional.
Mm-hmm.
So I was, you know, very intentional for the rest of my writing process to see how many country titles I could come up with, just to make sure everybody knows what
really
kind of record
home.
This is. And so I just wrote down country, and I didn't know how to write it or hook it, and I brought that in with Ashley Gourley and David Garcia, and Ashley was the guy that kind of, you know, it was like, be like a politician, and, you know, if it was up to me, the whole world would be, or I'd turn the whole country kind of thing. And but yeah, so it was late in the process of cutting for the record, but it was definitely intentional with its title, for sure.
Another one that kind of caught me off guard was Bro Country with Ernest.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what I was expecting, but it was not this like kind of like beautiful ode to like, hey, you had a good run, but buddy, you got to scoot over.
I'm
sit
glad
down.
That you say a beautiful ode, because there's been mixed opinions about that song, but I think the people that listen to it, that I don't think that they're listening to it. You know what I mean? Because
it feels like
nothing.
You're having a conversation with Bro Country of like, man, I really like, I get everything that you did and your purpose here, but, and like,
there's literally no disrespect. It says that in the song, but it's like just a giant tip of the hat. And it's just, it's like telling your dad, beating your dad in basketball and telling him he's getting old. You know what I mean? Like
literally
it's just, but I feel like that song might ruffle some feathers, but I just really think I see a change coming. And I know that like Morgan, that Morgan and Bailey and myself and Earn and Laney, and they're like, we had a class of people that kind of brought a somewhat of a new sound, but I'm seeing like a big shift right now with a lot of the younger people, and even like in the Americana world, how much that has kind of taken over or trickled into the commercial country world with like Wyatt Flores and, you know, obviously Zach Bryan, but even Gavin Adcock, Zach Top, these kids that are like, it's just different, and it's just it's very, very, very not what it was 10 years ago. So yeah, it's just a little, it's just kind of a touch on that whole situation.
That's really cool. It's funny you mentioned Zach Top. He's actually in here today.
Oh, cool.
After you, and I was curious if you guys had spent any time together.
No, I talked to him one time at okay, so apparently, and I didn't know this because this is not my vibe. And you can play him this clip. But apparently, I was riding out of, I had just played the stadium at CMA Fest, the thing. And we were riding out on a golf cart, and I guess somebody yelled, like, what's up, Hardy, or something. And it was, and I just kind of did one of these and just kept going. And it was Zach Top, and I didn't know. I didn't know what he looked like or anything. And I was in a hurry to get out of there because I was the last act, and I had driven there, so
you
knew.
You do not want to get stuck in that.
No, and so I was they actually had me like a little police escort where we just like zipped out of there really quick, but I felt really bad, and then Tracker was like, that was Zach Top, and I was like already a fan, and but I don't know why, I just didn't know what he looked like. Anyway, Zach, if you're listening to this, I'm really sorry about that, but later I saw him at a Ernest golf tournament, and complimented his swing, and talked to him for 2 seconds, but I think he's awesome. I think what he's doing is cool and different. I think it's really cool that he's writing songs with like the OG guys that were writing that stuff back in the day, and
right.
So it's very authentic, and just I hope he keeps doing what he's doing. It's really cool.
For sure. Back to your album. There's two songs on the album that you wrote by yourself. One of them is Dog Years.
Yeah.
Which I feel like should come with like an explicit warning before you listen to it this morning. I had to like take my dog to the vet, and he was being such a little
Oh no.
And then I listened to that song, and I was like, oh my God,
that's
I'm the
awesome.
Worst.
That's awesome.
But yeah, talk about that. Is there a dog in particular that song is about?
Yeah, I wrote that after my childhood dog died back. So I wrote that song in 2013.
Oh my God.
And that song, a distant relative of mine, not that distant, but Dennis McCoskey was and is a publisher in Nashville. He was a songwriter first, but he's a publisher in Nashville. And I always knew I had this cool cousin that was a publisher in Nashville. And when I moved up here, he and I kind of got linked up. And I'm trying to make it as, you know, condensed as possible. And he sort of took me under his wing. I was playing him songs I was writing, and he kept telling me, like, they're good, but they're not good enough for me to, like, take this to a publishing company yet and be like, you know, this guy, I want to sign this guy. Long story short, he was like, just keep taking some time and write and write and write and write. And I did. And I finally wrote Dog Years in 2013, right after I graduated from college. I sent it to him. Because, you know, the big thing is, like, if you – a lot of times when you hear other writers, you're like, that are unsigned, you're like, who'd you write that with? Because you just never know. Because, you know, it's split three ways. Sometimes it's the other people. And so he called me or whatever, and he was like, you wrote this by yourself. You swear to God. I was like, I swear to God. And so that song got me my first publishing deal, which was a joint deal with Cobalt. And it was a really special song. I never recorded it. It kind of just got not pushed to the side, but forgotten about for a really long time. And it resurfaced last year.
I was going to say, how did that not get pitched out to somebody?
It did. It got pitched everywhere.
I was like, who had this on hold that didn't?
So a few years ago, Miranda hit me up and she was like, this Dog Year song. And I was like, yeah. And she was like, I would cut it, but I would never be able to sing it because I would cry, because you know how much she's a
yes.
dog lover.
Oh my God.
And I was like, screw that. Cut my soul, please. But, she really, I owe a lot of that to her. Last year she had her, I can't think of the name, but her dog pet charity.
Mutt Nation
event at Ascend. And she called me and asked me if I would sing Dog Years and have her sing harmonies. And I was just like, yeah, sure. And that was kind of the moment that I was like, okay, this is cool. And I need to give this song a chance. So.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That is so wild that you've been sitting on that for that long.
12 years.
Do you think you're going to be okay to sing it live?
Yeah, I'll be okay.
You will?
Enough,
okay.
Enough time has passed.
I was going to say.
It was the first time, I'll never forget, I had probably gone a solid 6 or 7 years without crying. Like, I just am not, I used to be, or I'll go through phases, but a long time. And I remembered, I went home for deer season and over the holidays, and I knew that my dog was getting old. When it was cold, they'd let him sleep in the front part of the hallway, like next to where the laundry room was. And because he was an outside dog, and I laid with him one night and I fell asleep, and I woke up at like 5 a.m. and went and got in the bed, and then I slept a couple more hours, and I drove back to Nashville, and my dad called me the next morning, and he had passed away. So that was the first time that I had cried in like 7 or 8 years, and I just remember thinking, like, what the hell is happening? Like, you know, but it was really sad. It was he was like my child, my true, like, I had him from a child to like an adult, like by that entire, you know, very important part of my life. So yeah, that one's, his name was Nugget. So that one's for Nugget.
That is like one of the most beautiful, like, oh my God, that's great. I'll start crying. We keep talking about it. You're out on the Jim Bob tour right now. We're talking about this, a lot of tour dates. And I was wondering, because when you were in here a little like a year and a half ago, it was like March last year, we were talking about how you were cutting back on tour dates just because, like, it was really wearing on you. And when I saw these tour dates come out, I was like, he must be, like, in a really good spot. Like, he's ready to hit the road. Like, are you doing good? How are you?
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah?
I'm a lot better. I'm not even remotely close to where I was last year or 2 years ago. This year, I think we got close to 40 shows or something like that. I just had a moment where I was sick of it for a lot of reasons. I was dealing with a lot of mental stuff and causing, I won't say problems, but it hurts your marriage and your relationship with your family, your decision to whether or not to have kids, or, you know, try to, and all that, and it gets in the way of your life, which is the most important thing, you know, at the end of the day. And I needed a break. I was dealing with a lot of self stuff and imposter syndrome type thing, but I'm good now.
Good.
A lot of therapy, a lot of just working a lot of kinks out. And kind of becoming okay with a lot of things in the best way. But we're good now. I'm back. So
good. I'm glad to hear that.
We're close to 40, and I'm gonna hit it a little harder next year.
Good.
And we're gonna make it fun and like not dread it. And the biggest thing for me that is now I've kind of got this thing where I want to start here and I want to be done here, and I don't want to touch the road outside of
that
parameter.
Yeah.
Right. Like and this year that was great, and I had the whole basically the entire spring off, and by the time we hit the road, I was so excited to hit the road, and now every weekend I'm so excited to get back out there. And there was just a long time where I hated it. I hated every second of it because I was so tired of it and just needed a break. So I'm happy to fall back in love with it. And, you know, we're back to ground zero center now.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Yeah, and it seems like you guys are having a good time. Ko was in here earlier this year.
Oh, yeah.
And I was kind of laughing with him. I was like, you know what? Ko and Hardy on a tour, like even 2 years ago, probably would have looked a lot different. But now the two of you having like baby girls.
We don't even party anymore. We're just
exactly.
Like, it is funny to talk about he and I especially. Did he tell you about the acoustic tour by chance?
I don't, maybe.
When Texas opened back up from the shutdown, like early 2021, like February, he and I played like 7 or 8 dates in a row, acoustic, him sitting on a bar stool, me sitting on a bar stool. We played all these like bars and clubs throughout Texas, and it is a miracle that we didn't die. Like, we partied for 7 days straight, and it was insane. And we always talk about how fun that was and how now it's, you know, I was getting a tattoo the other day. Ko stepped in and me and him and my photographer Tanner, we were all laughing about that crazy week and just how different things are now.
Right.
And now we're like, oh, I better not have that second beer. I gotta get up at 5:30 with the kid and stuff like that.
Right. So I feel like Gavin Adcock has now stepped in to fill the role that you guys left open.
Yeah, he can have it. We walked so Gavin Adcock can run.
Yes, that's exactly. Fine. Tell me everything about Sweet Little Rosie.
She's so good.
Yeah.
She's in a bit of a sleep regression right now.
Oh,
so
you're doing that fun part.
We're like right now, for some reason, the last like month or so, she just has a hard time staying asleep, and that's totally fine. It's not horrible, but it's just a lot of like waking up at night, you know. And these days, thanks to technology, you have your camera, and then your camera, you know, you just leave your phone on, and you can hear every time she cries, and so that's the only downside. Is a little bit of some juggling with some sleep when, you know, and I'm coming off the road, and that's like kind of what I really want to do, but that's okay. She is a wonderful, wonderful baby. Like she smiles. She literally smiles when she wakes up with nobody in the room. She's just such a great baby, and we can take her anywhere. We've done a good job of traveling with her and stuff, so we're kind of breaking her in to that whole thing, but she's great with people and just the feeling of like looking at her and actually physically feeling like I'm looking at like parts of myself, and it's just wild. It's definitely, you know, it's definitely like for me, like the reason I feel like I'm here now is like her. It's crazy.
Have you started like writing about her yet? Like,
no,
seeped in yet. I always am curious. Some people say yes, some people say no.
People have started to ask me that, and it's just I have the ideas, but I just can't. The first time I do it, or at least the first time I like cut a baby song or having a kid song, it's got to be the best one ever, or I'm not going to do it. Like, not just for my own sake, but I want her to one day look back and like I want my own humble and kind, if that makes sense. Like,
yes.
I want it to be that good. I hold it to that standard, and so I have the ideas. I just have. I haven't had really a lot of time to write, but no, not I'm there. I'm stockpiling them, and I'm waiting for the right crew and the right moment. But we're getting there.
But it's kind of like what Morgan said about Superman. He was like, I kept trying to write a song and I didn't cut anything because none of them felt good enough.
Yeah, I wrote half of those with him. And I knew it's the same thing, though. I was like, this isn't your song for your son yet. Like, I know that it's not, you know, and that's the way I want to be, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You have a recent collab out with Ella Langley. And this like got everybody's attention. Never met anyone like you because it's just such a crazy hook. It's not what you're expecting. Talk about working on this with Ella.
She's awesome. I love her. And that song, that's the first thing we ever wrote. First time we ever were, you know, got in a room together. And I have known her, but just first time we ever were creative together. And man, I love that song. I've told people for the better part of this year, that was my favorite song I had written this year, like by far. I love a good old, like, you ever seen like The Sixth Sense or like The Village, like the M. Night Shyamalan like twist? That's what this was like. And yeah, I mean, I had the idea and like the kind of the twist at the end, but she took the reins on all that cool melody and guitar stuff, and she's really good. And,
at what point did you guys decide that you were going to be in the background screaming piece of shit?
Well, there's actually a really funny story about that. So I felt like the guy that like thought that he was getting hit on by a girl and the whole time was not. And what I mean by that is I thought that when we left the room that day, that the plan was for me to be a feature and she was going to put it out. And so she and I are texting and I'm like texting her a lot about the song and I'm excited and this and that. And I went back in, I re-sang the harmonies, I redid the screams. And then the artwork comes out and it's like, never met anyone like you, Ella Langley. And I texted Tracker and I was like, I thought that I was going to be a feature. And he was like, no, you were never going to be a feature. And I was like, what?
You're like, but I really want.
I was like so butthurt. And I was like, yo. So I was like, can you ask them if like that was ever a thing? And he was like, yeah, nobody. So then I start scrolling through my texts with Ella and I'm like, oh my God. She never, like, we never confirmed. It's like everything that we're saying back and forth has nothing to do with me being a feature. I'm like, I feel like such an idiot. So,
and you've already got the parts cut and like you've been.
Well, yeah, but so Ella called me and she was like, hey, what's going on with this whole feature thing? And I was like, I'm not gonna lie, I thought I was gonna be a feature. And she was like, well, I thought that day in the room that you were just saying like it would be cool if like you did harmonies but like weren't a feature and everybody just knew, kind of like the Mick Jagger being in the You're So Vain, kind of that type thing, or whoever was in that. But I was like, no, I like really wanted to be a feature. And so thankfully, like, I think that all happened like the week it came out or like days before it came out. And then so when it came out, you know, we worked it out and I'm officially a feature. But yeah, it was funny. I felt like an idiot for a second. I was like, oh,
when
my
you
God.
Started that analogy of like, I felt like a guy who thought a girl was hitting on him, but she wasn't. I was like, where is this going? But that is exactly
what. Yeah, you know what I mean?
It's
like reverse catfished or something.
Like,
you know
we're on
I mean?
The same page, but we're not.
Yeah, it was all, yeah. It was when I started, because it was when I started scrolling and like rereading all of our texts, and I was just like, oh my God, I'm an idiot. So
that is.
But I'm glad it worked out. I love that song.
I'm so glad it did too. Somebody else that I had in here recently that I was talking to about you is Bailey Zimmerman, and I want to play you something he said because okay. I thought this was so sweet. Sweet Bailey, hang on.
My favorite thing I ever learned actually was from Hardy. Hardy said, hey man, I got some advice for you. You have a jetpack on your back right now that they've strapped on you and they've made it go, but they are not going to tell you to shut it off and chill out. And eventually that motor is going to burn out. So you don't want to do that. Make sure you know when to shut the jetpack off and chill out for a little bit and take time for you. Basically, you're on a rocket ship and everybody's going to want you to keep going. And when you feel like you shouldn't and you need time, take the time, because that's going to affect your future and everything. And ever since I heard that, I was like, no, if Hardy tells me to do this, I'm going to do that. Like, I would probably jump off a bridge if Hardy told me to, I guess. Taking time off for yourself, shutting the jetpack off for a little while and chilling out is something I learned from Hardy, and I will probably always remember that.
Is it?
That's cool.
I love that kid.
I think we were in like Australia when I told him that. And that was a long time ago. I think I told him that like at this point like a couple of years ago. I just think it's so important. You know, I watched Nate Smith make his I'm taking a break announcement. I watched Ella make hers.
Yeah.
It happens to people. And like, it happened to me. It's happened to Morgan. It's happened to Ernest. And whether that may be vocal problems, physical things, or like a mental thing, or just like, I can't do another show, I need to go take a break, be with my family, whatever. anybody that's a new artist, I can promise you, you're going to burn out. Like, if you do it and you do it too hard, it's just going to happen. It literally happens to everybody. And there's some people, Lainey is the only person that I have seen that I'm like, I don't know how you're alive. I don't know how you don't hate your life right now. Like, I don't care what anybody says that doesn't know what it's like to have fame or any of that. There are just times where it's just really hard. And like, yeah, Lainey's the toughest person I know because she just never had a moment. I don't think she did where she had to take a step back and cancel some shows.
I can't think of one either. But I so many times I see her, I'm like, please tell me you're okay.
You good?
But
she's like, I'm good.
She does. I think she had some time off recently at home, and that was the most well deserved break of anyone I've ever met.
But get out ahead of it, and you can always say no, and it will be okay. You are your own boss. Everybody else. Nobody can tell you what exactly you're going to do. So anybody that's listening in any sort of walk of life, I guess, but just don't ever do it because it's inevitable.
Yeah.
It
happens. If you never say no, then it could definitely
crash and
wear
burn,
on you.
For sure.
Last time you were in here, we were talking about, you had like a mental list of artists you were saying that you really wanted to write songs for. And I'm curious if you ticked any off this list. You said to me, McGraw, Luke Bryan, mm-hmm. Luke Combs, Jason Aldean.
Nope.
No?
It's so funny. I
thought you were going to say yes for sure. Now I feel like an ass for asking.
Some of those people, some of them have a hard time responding to songs. I don't know what it is. I'm not going to say which ones. Mm-hmm. But I have sent a couple of those guys some of the biggest like haters I have ever written. But then I'll turn around and be like, you doing any good deer hunting this year? And they're like, hell yeah, brother.
There is nothing worse. I truly, like, I could never be an artist for so many reasons, but sending songs to people would be the number one. Like, I could not handle that.
It's hard. I mean, you know, and I don't ever want to be the guy that, like, oversends songs to people, because every time you send one that doesn't stick, your credibility becomes less and less. You know what I mean?
You gotta wait a little longer before you send the next one.
Yeah, I think so. Like, if you get lucky and somebody, like, the first time you ever send somebody a song and they cut it, it's like, okay, well, then the next time I send one, that's the standard now or whatever. But I actually wrote a song with Luke Combs that him and Post Malone cut together. So I guess you could count that. And Tim McGraw, I got his number a while back, and I ran into him at the Ryman, and he was like, send me some songs. So I sent him a batch of songs a few months ago, and he didn't write me back. And I texted him like a week later, and I said, damn, do I suck that bad? And he was like, pretty bad, man.
Oh my God.
No, but he was really cool. He was really responsive. And Tim's a guy that obviously with a career like his and just the amount of like massive songs, like he knows exactly what he wants. And he was like, man, I'm not really going this direction with this record or whatever it is. But no, I mean, really, truly all four of those guys, I haven't done it yet.
So. You'll get them. Don't worry.
Hopefully.
I love that you though have used like some of the most like Southern phrases, like even like y'all need Jesus. That was another one of my favorites on the album. Just like a stab back at all the internet jerks.
Yeah, that was you know, it's funny, 4 times a year my publishing company has a writing retreat, and we bring in some of our other favorites, you know, that aren't with the company, but basically there's like 4 rooms going on, and I will stay in each room for like 30 or 45 minutes and like try to, I mean, usually we finish every song every round, but anyway, the last room I got to that morning was Drew Parker, Zach Aubind, and Jesse Joe Dillon, and they had written bits and pieces, but basically the first verse and chorus, and so I can't take credit for that, but as soon as I heard it, I was like, that specific retreat we were writing for me, like for my record, and so I was like, you nailed it, because I needed a hater song. I've experienced more haters in the last like year and a half than I ever, the rest of the years combined, no doubt.
Why do you think that is?
Putting a rock record out.
100%. Really?
Yeah, it all started then. Because The Mockingbird and the Crow was so big for me, and like, but for some reason, as much as people love The Mockingbird and the Crow, it seems like a lot of people didn't gravitate towards just the Crow, I guess.
I know how important like that is for you,
how
fulfilling the rock part of this is for you. So how are you doing? Like, does that deter you from like wanting to keep to it?
No way. If you don't think I'm not doing a rock project after this big country project, you're out of your mind. No, I have to. I mean, it's a part of who I am, and I owe it to the people that love it, you know? But yeah, I mean, there was just I think a lot of it was just, it just pissed like a lot of the country media accounts, whatever you want to call that, off for some reason. I'm not gonna name
there's
any,
some of them that are real.
Not going to name any names, yeah. But there's some people that are pretty traditional out there. And yeah, I just didn't, I wouldn't even say that I got a lot of hate as much as like, I didn't get a lot of love for quit. I think a lot of people were just like, we'll see you in a year and a half when you do something we like. But it is what it is. You know, you live and learn, and that is not going to affect the shit that I'm doing musically. And it has nothing to do with this record either. I wanted to put out a full-length country record because I really, truly had not done that since the beginning. Everything that I've done so far, this record is still 100% like a Hardy record, but it's just all the country stuff. And I had not really done that since, even if you count Hixtape Volume 1, because that even had a lot of rock and roll stuff to it. So a rock was had a too much, or not too much, but was very rock heavy. The Mockingbird and the Crow was its own thing. Quit was a rock record. So this is my first real full length. These are 20 country songs.
It's a great record.
Thank you. Except for Gun to My Head. That we snuck that one in there, but Gun to My Head is that's a rock song.
It's such a good album. I'm excited for everyone to hear this. And like, you just seem like you're doing so great. And like, congratulations on the arrival of Rosie this year. And
thank
like,
you.
All seems well in the Hardy world.
It's good. It's good. I've been thinking about it a lot recently, but I'm in a good place. Taking it a day at a time, but it's night and day from where I was a couple years ago. I'm very thankful for that.
Happy to hear that. Well, thank you for the time today. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.